broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 26th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the brilliant checks and balances put in place by our founders, absolutely the solution in America. We need a good, honest, moral people to stand for liberty by demanding the checks and balances are in effect and that they work. We can do that. We don't need a revolution. Our founders already made that happen. What we need is a restoration of the incredible principles they put in place. Welcome to the broadcast. Kurt Crosby's with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You are very welcome. And our buddy Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com, with us. ConstitutionParty.com, Jim Clymer. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
It is my pleasure. Once again, thank you, Sam.
Now, we were at the Republican National Convention all last week. We broadcasted live all 5 days, 2 hours a day. And when we were not on the air, we were gathering interviews, and we talked to so many people, sir. And there's a few things that I want to pick your brain about coming out of the conventions. Number one, there was some little bit of contention and division. There wasn't near as much as the mainstream press articulated, but there was a little bit. The Democratic Convention starting out 10 times more contentious. But again, the more you violate moral principles, the more you violate the proper role of limited government, the more contention you have. Your convention, our convention, because I'm a Constitution Party member as well, the Constitution Party convention didn't have any bitter battles, did it?
No. That's not to say that there weren't some minor disagreements, but...
Disagreements are okay, though.
Yeah.
That's right, the genius of America. Even the Founding Fathers had some of that.
But it was done decently in order, and there was no uprisings, nothing like you see with the major parties.
How many people got booed off the stage, for instance?
Nobody.
Oh, see what I mean? It's fine to disagree and talk about things. We all have our own opinions, and sometimes the best solutions come from, disagreement, and then, you know what, let's give and take, let's educate ourselves, let's look at it, let's work on it, and pretty soon the best blended solutions come to be, right?
Absolutely, and iron sharpens iron, and there are times when you help, it helps to focus your, to clarify your thinking and your thought processes when you have some disagreement. Disagreement isn't always bad. It can be good, and it can help to clarify one's position and their reason for concluding the way they've come to conclusion.
All right. Michelle Bachmann wrote a piece that I find interesting. Kurt Crosby brought it to our attention. She didn't write the piece, I guess. Art Moore wrote the piece for WorldNet Daily. But it was about Michelle Bachmann's musings. Michelle Bachmann said Trump got humbled at the RNC. And the whole article talks about the importance of religious people surrounding a presidential candidate / eventual nominee / president. And the idea is, you know what, we need an advisory panel that does understand religious liberties. And you know what? Donald Trump, with all of his faults, at least is willing to listen. At least is willing to embody a panel such as this, or an advisory board, whatever you want to call it. And she's saying, good on Donald for doing it. And what's at stake is this idea. Right now, religious leaders are muzzled because they can't speak out with anything that broaches politics, or else they're, quote, tax-exempt status is in question. It's kind of the stick and the carrot for the government to abuse religious leaders who should be able to stand freely in the pulpit for any moral issue they choose and not have it cross into a political muzzle scenario. And she's basically saying that Donald would revisit that and would back away those laws, and religious leaders are advising him to do so. I find that quite refreshing.
I do as well. And look, I mean, I've certainly had my disagreements and continue to have some disagreements with Donald Trump, and have concerns about how he's how well founded he is on principle and the Constitution. But I will say that I see a lot to be hopeful for with him as well. And this is not a Trump ad, but I can tell you that, you know, if you look at his position, I mean, he's right on immigration, he's right on trade. He's the only one who's not afraid to say that it's time to stop being the policeman of the world, to restore our military to a defensive position, and, you know, have that be the focus rather than engaging in things in conflicts all around the world. And of course, what I love about him more than anything else is that he gives the establishment fits, and they don't know how to handle him. They don't know what they can do with him, because nobody owns him. So there are certainly some good things to look at in his candidacy.
It's amazing to see, but to me, I appreciate it, and I appreciate Donald's efforts, and I appreciate the start. However, our buddy Chuck Baldwin has talked about the Black Regiment, not relating to race at all, but relating to the preachers of our founding era.
Yeah.
And the difference they made in terms of hardening the hearts and minds of the American people, because they knew they were backed by God's law and God's will for religious liberty. That cannot be underestimated. And the reason that I bring all this up is Donald's trying, and that's good. But if we really want to take this to the next level, the only solution is to elect Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley. They'd get it done like no other, sir.
No doubt. Because you know that you have the foundation there. You know that they're founded on truth. They're founded on the Constitution, the principles of the Constitution. They're godly men, both of them. And they would be ideal in being able to present not only established policies that are firmly grounded on our Constitution and constitutional principles, but on godly principles as well.
And I mentioned this over and over. I appreciate Donald's effort, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due. But I'm also going to say, if we want to take this to the next level, and there's very few things that could really change America. I know that getting rid of the Federal Reserve would be critical, and I know that getting out of the constant wars and stopping the abusive murdering the most innocent among us, nicknamed abortion, etc., would make a tremendous difference. However, I'm almost convinced that allowing leaders of churches, the people of the pulpit, to stand up and really tie it to God's laws in terms of our understanding, we can do more with religious teaching than we can do with the sword or the military or anything else. We can do more for America by educating the people and strengthening their faith and firming their minds, not to seek for power but to pull it down, to stand for religious liberty in not only public sphere but in their own personal private lives, that families are the key to success. Society is nothing but a mirror of the family, so to speak. And they could really teach to these things, and I'm almost convinced that alone would be the single game changer, because if people understand independence based on God's laws, not dependence based on government or socialist principles, other things can change downstream from that. But without that, I'm not sure where you go. And so I believe this is one of the most critical discussions America could have right now, Jim.
Well, Sam, I certainly agree with you. I would go a bit further and say that it's got to be more, though, than just an intellectual approach to it.
Agreed.
I think there needs to be a change in the hearts of people as well. And it's going to take, for this country to be saved, it's going to take something in the nature of the Great Awakening, where, and of course, the clergy, the Black Robe Regiment, was very much a part of that. But there needs to be a melding of the spiritual renewal with the call to action in the public arena. And that's what it's going to take. I mean, we can, if we're looking for a political solution alone, we're not going to find the salvation of this country is not going to happen with a political change at all. It's got to be combined with the the undergirding of a renewed, a spiritually renewed people, and I think that comes about through the education process that you're talking about. I think that the education process led by the clergy, and I think that's where we've seen a great falling. I don't want to be one of those who's always harping on the clergy, but I think the truth of the matter is, by and large, they've become people who want to tickle the ears of their parishioners and rather than teaching and preaching the truth.
When we come back, we'll talk about this a little more with Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com, ladies and gentlemen. This is a critical discussion to have, and I agree with Jim when he pushes further. Let's talk about that a little bit more and flesh it out. This is really critical if we want solutions to restore our grand old republic.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Jim Clymer, well-known attorney at law, one of the leaders of the ConstitutionParty.com, doing a great job, always joining us on Liberty Roundtable Live monthly. We also have Scott Bradley joining us twice a month, talking about what's happening in the Constitution Party. I personally am a member, and proudly so, of the Constitution Party. So I agree 1,000% with Jim Clymer's comments, which is this. You know what, Sam, we can't just have a philosophical discussion about this. We can't just expect the government to change a law and have it solve everything. And I agree. However, I will say this, though. I believe this is the setting the stage for the solution. Number one, you got to get government. Anybody who teaches about the proper role of limited government would say, look, the government sets an appropriate playing field and then gets out of the way. And that's what we need to see here. We need to see the penalty go away for religious leaders speaking their minds. And then once that level playing field is set for freedom of speech, then it's up to the real work to begin, which is good, honest people to become part of the black regiment of modern day and teach to moral principles. Everything is moral. Everything has to do with a moral compass and a moral reality. And then once that teaching starts to take place, it's up to individuals to be the hearers and not just let their ears itch or tingle, but to really take action. Faith, if you will, is an action word. So I don't think it's the solution. Rather, I think it's the stage being set, Jim, and you're completely right.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. I think the stage it does need to be set. It's a matter of, I guess, the point I was making, that we can't sit back and rely on good government policy or a change of administration alone to turn it around. It's going to take more than that. It has to be in conjunction, but certainly that provides the opportunity. And I, if you're talking about the prohibition, the muzzle that was placed on churches and church leaders by the Johnson Amendment back in '56 or whenever that was. Yeah, I mean, that should have been taken off a long time ago. And again, not to...
If we had elected Chuck Baldwin or Michael Perutka back in the days, we would have had those things, huh?
That would have been gone, absolutely. You know, even Trump talks about that.
But again, I think it's the third party's influence on a lot of these things that have made the difference. Now, one of the things that was quite interesting, we talked to David Barton of Wall Builders.
Mm-hmm.
And David Barton and Tony Perkins are now saying that, believe it or not, this Republican platform, Donald Trump had hands off big time, and religious leaders had an incredible involvement in this, and they've created the best Republican platform ever written.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm reading as well. And I candidly have not inspected it myself to see whether what they say is true. But some people that I have a lot of respect for have said this is the most conservative platform the Republican Party has ever put out.
Even in 1856, 1860, 1864, all those were compared to, they're not even as liberty-minded as. And then the pro-life planks or line items are the strongest ever written.
Yeah. And that's interesting. And you, what you said about Trump being hands off on it and allowing it to happen, I think that's to his credit also. Because remember, when George W. Bush was nominated at his convention, of course he had a very heavy hand in it. Of course, since then McCain and Romney did also, but George W. Bush had a very heavy hand in it. And one thing he insisted in taking out was the plank in the platform that said, that called for the abolition of the Department of Education. That was in every Republican platform since the Department of Education was created and until 2000, when Bush insisted that be taken out. And, you know, you see the influence our so-called good Republican candidates had before for creating a bad platform. And so it's it is encouraging, I will say, to see that Trump allowed some of the good people to formulate the platform this time.
But let's be very clear, though. It's a great sign. It steps in the right directions. We're giving credit where credit's due. However, as you wisely mentioned in the earlier segment, it's not enough. And in my opinion, what we're really setting the stage for is people to realize that the Republicrats are really one party, and that emerges the second party, which we always need, the Constitution Party. And what we can do is we can jettison some of these crazies like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and crew. Maybe Trump would be the liberal side, and the Constitution Party rolls out the constitutional side. We reject the left-right paradigm, and we really start to talk about principle for a change.
I like to think that the Constitution Party has already been a part of that, and it has, and
you see the needle moving towards liberty as a result. But just imagine the Constitution Party emerging as one of the great opportunities. It isn't about parties; it's about the Constitution. That's gaining ground as well, and I think we played a role in that. I think we're just coming to prominence It's kind of like people listen to Rush Limbaugh until they graduate. Then they listen to Glenn Beck until they graduate, and then they come listen to us. It's like that.
Yeah, right. Well, and then they find the ultimate truth when they come listen to the Liberty Roundtable, right?
And I think that's kind of happening with the Constitution Party.
Well, I think it is. And I would like to see the Constitution Party become a lot more than that and actually become a party that has power, has members in Congress and can make the difference there. But it's a good start where we're influencing the issues that people are running on and promoting and even putting in the platform, I believe.
Well, I think that's happening. And I think eventually we will see Constitution Party members in Congress. I think that's coming. I think the divide between the moral and the immoral is becoming greater. Some used to say left and right. I reject that whole idea. But those who truly believe in the Constitution and those who don't, we're seeing the gulf between the two just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And as we do so, you get more and more right-minded people having influence, which I think I find incredible. And it's an opportunity for us to look forward to with faith and dedication, hard work.
Indeed it is. And it gives some hope for the future of our country.
Any other tidbits from the Constitution Party convention that took place? I know these other conventions are getting so much coverage, most of it's a waste of time. But the Constitution Party convention really had some important things there. Their platform, or the Constitution Party platform, 10 times better even than the best written Republican one.
I was going to say, absolutely. Our platform, and I will say that I think over the years, our platform has gotten better in relation to the Republican platform. Back when the Constitution Party started, I know I said myself, and I don't know whether it's totally true or not, but I said on a number of occasions when people asked me about the Constitution Party, I said, well, you know, if the Republicans truly lived up to the platform that they put forth, most of the issues that the Constitution Party stands for would be taken care of.
Well, if they lived up to their Republican platform completely, then they'd be Constitution Party members.
Yeah, well, not quite. I mean, there have been some defining differences, and one of those has to do with military action abroad, you know, and of course, that developed a lot during the Clinton administration, during the second Bush administration, well, during the first Bush administration.
It's the George Washington-esque humble foreign policy that the Constitution Party would focus on, different from the Republicans.
That's a critical area of difference. And, of course, free trade, as opposed to fair trade, is another big difference between the platforms. But still, on a lot of other issues, you're right. If they really followed their platform, I don't think the Constitution Party would have ever gotten off the ground, because the other differences are not that great. But it'd be great to see a Republican who truly follows their own platform.
We're going to keep working on it, ladies and gentlemen. ConstitutionParty.com. We're gaining more and more state ballot access. We're talking about Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley as presidential and vice presidential candidates. I've endorsed them and recommend you do the same. Jim Clymer, thanks so much, sir.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you much.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The humiliation suffered by Debbie Wasserman Schultz by being booed off the stage by angry Bernie Sanders supporters during a pre-convention address was soothed somewhat by the knowledge that she had a new job to replace the one she had just lost as DNC chair. Following disclosure of DNC email traffic that made it clear Wasserman Schultz had been informally working for the Clinton campaign during the primaries, Hillary made it official by hiring her for the empty ceremonial position of honorary chair for her presidential campaign. Hillary Clinton's selection of Virginia Senator Tim Kaine as vice presidential running mate was not popular with supporters of Bernie Sanders, and their mood wasn't improved by disclosure of DNC emails documenting that the primaries had been rigged to ensure a Clinton victory. Kaine, a perceived moderate, was supposed to balance the ticket in the eyes of independent voters, but this idea hasn't been well received by supporters of Sanders. Norman Solomon, a California delegate and national coordinator for the Bernie Delegates Network, told Politico that there's been serious interest of a formal challenge to the Kaine selection as Hillary's would-be vice president. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In December 2013, a woman identified only as Jane Doe was detained at the southern border by the Customs and Border Protection Agency and then taken to a nearby hospital to undergo an illegal body cavity search. 6 hours of invasive and degrading examinations yielded no evidence of drugs or other contraband. The victim filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against the federal government, which has announced it will pay her $475,000 to settle the case. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The hypocritical views of the Democrats are just beyond the pale, if you ask my humble opinion. Kirk Crosby's with me. Jim Clymer had to fly early today. Thank him for his support and involvement in the broadcast, no doubt. ConstitutionParty.com is where I recommend you get involved, because that's where the biggest differences are being made when it comes to the proper role of limited government. And a place you can actually make a difference. ConstitutionParty.com. By the way, this half hour is brought to you by ThePowerMall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, please think ThePowerMall.com. Incredible videos and DVDs and books and herbs and more. Do business with the good guys today. 10% off Numana Foods. Incredible stuff. Available now. ThePowerMall.com or 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. Anyway, it's just... The reality is just striking, Kurt. They're so against a wall. However?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And, you know, you've got the whole, with the DNC event, you got a bunch of folks that are a little concerned about their safety, you know, and they're concerned that, hey, they might get kind of, you know, stormed on the stage. And so, what's their solution? I guess when Elizabeth Warren was speaking, she basically said this: other than talking about building a stupid wall, did you hear any actual ideas? And this author from, what's it called, Gateway Pundit said, yeah, she did this while she was standing behind her own convention wall. So they had built some kind of a wall so that, you know, nobody could run up the stage. And they were scared about this whole thing. So they built this wall around the podium. They also built a 4-mile double fence outside the Wells Fargo Convention Center in Philly. And this author says, what hypocrites. But anyway, good walls, good fences make good neighbors, huh, Sam?
Well, you'd think the RNC was locked down. Holy mackerel, sir.
Yeah, I didn't see, you know, I mean, we walked right up to the convention stage, and I don't remember seeing any wall that made it where you couldn't step up there at their event.
Well, and you know what? The, I mean, people could have yanked Ted Cruz off the stage if they wanted to. Now, I'm not saying they should have. I'm not saying security would have allowed it. I'm just saying there was nothing wall-wise or otherwise preventing that. As far as I was, when I was there, that's the case, right?
That's correct. I mean,
so it's just interesting.
If it was, it was an invisible wall.
Yeah, like an electric fence or something like that.
Yeah, like you couldn't see it.
All right. Now, anyway, just weird stuff going on. What are they doing, Kurt?
Well, you know, that's the old story is, you know, you guys do your thing, but, you know, I mean, we'll take all the guns away from you people, but, you know, we need our, you know, personal security, you know, that kind of thing. It's the same deal with the wall, right?
Yeah, who's Jim Hoff, by the way, this author?
Jim Hoff on the, he writes for what's called Gateway Pundit. You know, I mean, it's just one more of those new media taking center stage kind of deals, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's kind of why I bring this up, is to give him a little bit of credit. I actually know who it is, but I wanted to highlight, you know, where the piece comes from sometimes. I like to make sure that we give credit where credit's due, but it's like, wow, Democrats build a wall around the podium in Philly. It's just beyond the what are they? Wow. But you know what? That's what Hillary's always done. She's always had those rope lines and.
Well, and,
she's always
and
had
even
those control of the crowds, right, Kurt?
Now, some, you're exactly right. Some would say, well, but, you know, what about, you know, talking about the Republicans? Because the fact is, you know, Paul Ryan, for example, lives behind a wall and has a walled, you know, kind of a gated community kind of thing, and yet, you know, has been against.
Hey, Kurt,
up
I got a
wall.
Door on my house.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, that's the thing that we got to understand is that, you know, why do they want a wall between the average American and the elitists, but yet they don't want a wall at the border? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Now, I'm personally not for a wall at the border, not because I don't want national security, not because I don't want to reduce the illegality, but I believe there's technological and other ways to do it that's better than a wall, personally.
Uh-huh.
In other words, I think a wall would take a lot of money to build, and a wall kind of has some symbolism that I'm not very comfortable with. Like, think of all the walls in the world that have been built. Who have they been built by, Kurt?
Well, you had the Great Wall of China that I think is a pretty good example of...
It's like a communist wall, right?
Yeah, but in their time, of course, it wasn't, you know, they weren't communists at that time when they built it, I don't think.
Well, they had a king, though.
Yeah, well, or something else, you know, ruler or whatever. But, you know.
You know, then you got the Berlin Wall?
I mean, if you're, let's say you're the, you know, Chinese, you know, let's say you are a good protection kind of people, want to protect your people. You don't want the Huns or whoever it is, you know, coming across, killing your people. You know, it makes sense to me to have some kind of a, you know, a barrier between, you know, that kind of thing, and that's why, to me, it does make sense to do the wall kind of thing.
Yeah, I understand. I just think of the walls in history, and I just, you know, I don't, you know, even there was a wicked group that built a wall. Was it like Jericho or something like that?
Yep. Well, and I think, it was the Joshua, let's see. Yeah,
well, Joshua was the dude to bring that sucker down.
That's
buddy.
Right. Well, in that case, those people were trying to protect themselves from the outside influences or outside invasion.
I'm just saying the good guys brought down the wall.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, and I'm just saying if you study walls in history, rarely, I'm not telling you that you can't find an example, but I don't really see examples of walls doing a lot of good. You know, there are scriptures and other things that talk about walls protecting people, too. So I'm not saying they're always bad.
And David Barton's thing is called Wall Builders. So I don't know for sure, you know, how that works.
Yeah, it's
but,
just interesting.
You know,
it all comes down to, Kurt, whose hands is it in and for what purposes is it done? Yeah, in other words, the intent of the heart really is the critical piece there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say this. We've got to stop illegal activity. That includes immigration. Now, legal immigration is a different discussion. We've got to stop illegal activity, including immigration. And that's a phrase somebody ought to use, Kurt. We need to stop illegal activity, including immigration. Because that's the point that we need to get across is illegal, folks.
Yes, exactly.
And we don't support lawbreaking. Law. Exactly now, I'm for the law and order guy, but I'm a little bit hesitant that we might get a little too forceful in our law and order. But that's another topic.
Good point.
All right. Anyway, I guess the Pokemon, I've mentioned this, it's just psychotic, Kurt, and it just gets even worse by the second, doesn't it?
Well, Sam, there's a school teacher, I guess her name is Sofia Pedraza, and I'm sure I said that properly. I mean, you know, she's 26 years old. She's kind of a good example of a school teacher because apparently, according to the story, she makes money giving private lessons to kids in math, English, and music, which, you know, that's cool. I mean, private lesson. She's also got a law degree, but now she's downloaded the Pokemon mobile phone app a couple weeks ago, and now she's, they say in the article, that she's obsessed and thinks she can make a living out of it. So, anyway, now you say, well, how could she make a living? Do they pay you to do that stuff? But what apparently they do, Sam, is that if you reach certain levels, apparently some people will sell their account to others, you know, that they don't want to go through that rough and tumble getting to those certain levels. They talk about level 20 and level 15. This lady said on eBay, she said she'd heard of these levels being sold, level 20 for somewhere around 1,000. That's euros, so, you know, more money than that. Level 15 bids were somewhere between 100 and 200 euros. But, you know, the point is she's done the math, and she figures that she could make money doing it. And, you know, I personally think it seems kind of silly, but then I will tell you this. I know very little about, you know, Pokemon. I will say it. It seems good. At least they're walking around instead of sitting on a couch moving their fingers to play a game. But she has figured out she plans to buy some additional phones so that she can, I guess, do them all together, you know, and then have these different deals so that she can make some cash playing Pokemon, Sam.
Nothing like making some cash, brother. I agree with what you're saying today. It's better to get up and move around, but I will say this. Teaching people to just run around in communities and society and reality and kind of this virtual reality, non-cognizant of your surroundings state, to me seems more detrimental than good. I'd rather be in reality on my couch, but that's just me. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I spent this last break documenting the Black Regiment a little bit. And Chuck Baldwin's website, chuckbaldwinlive.com, has incredible information there. For your educational understanding, I think it's critical to understand what Jim and Kurt and I were talking about with regards to that. It's critical. All right. I guess Debbie Wasserman Schultz was greeted with cheers. I'm sorry, not really cheers, Kurt. Jeers.
Yeah, pretty close.
At the pre-convention breakfast that she tried to speak at. And they say after she finished her remarks, but I think they're being polite. I think the truth is she tried to make a remark. She couldn't get it done. She dealt with jeers and mockings. She was eventually hurried out of the room with a huddle around her of staff members. And I guess there were cries of shame and boos and na-na-na-na, hey.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And then after she left, the room settled down, Kurt, just for an FYI.
Yeah.
You want to respond to that?
Well, you know, what you've got here is, you know, they don't really like this. The insiders, the kingmen, don't really like this. Have kind of uncontrolled people, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what you've got. But I think people can make a difference when they get involved, whether it's with the Democrats or Republicans or whatever. You know, we can, you know, they talk about this, what, body shaming. Have you heard of that, Sam, where, you know, somebody maybe they don't look as good, so then they show their picture to somebody else and, you know, shame them, you know, by saying, hey, you know.
Yeah, Donald's done that. I've been disappointed in him for that, and others have done that. I that's why we do radio, Kurt, just saying.
Yeah. Well, and yet the nice thing here is that these individuals can kind of shame this Wasserman Schultz lady from, you know, sticking her head out there. And maybe that gets you better representation.
Well, and I'm not really fond of that type of behavior, though. I think there could be better representation than that. You don't have to jeer and mock her and be that way. I think there's better, good more point. Classy ways to do it. One would be just to sit there through her speech and not clap. The other way would be to leave. Politely just leave. The other way would be not to show up in the first place. So there's better ways to go about it. But you saw something in the Republican convention which was interesting at the news kind of desks and everything else. I can't remember the exact details, Kurt, and I hope I'm not out of line for bringing this up, but I think it's important to mention in light of what you just mentioned. That is this. Kurt's like, you know what? This is like the place for pretty people. Because he's sitting there watching all these media. Go ahead, Kurt. This is kind of
And they, in my opinion, they weren't really pretty folks if you got down deep. But, you know, you had the makeup in, I'm talking about the TV kind of folks. You know, you had all the makeup and all that kind of stuff. And yet, if you looked, you know, you can see in people's eyes if there's really something there. And, you know, you didn't see a lot of that, in my opinion. But, you know, you'd see the... you know, the people heading for coffee for people, you know, the little, they're not really slaves because I guess they work for them or they're interns or whatever. But, you know, it was sad to see that, you know, so much of what you see on camera, it's kind of a lie. It's not really, you know, the real truth of what is there.
Well, and it was almost a pretty people fest. That's kind of how they play the game, Kurt. And, you know, we don't really fit into that. I'm not saying we're God's children, so we're plenty, you know, presentable enough. I'm just saying that to them, it's almost like a fashion show.
Yeah.
Almost like a beauty
pageant.
Well,
that's what people want to watch, you know.
Well, that's what they claim everybody wants to watch. I don't think so. I think most people really want, I don't think people want just an ugly person. Meaning that I don't think people just want to, you know, have people get up there that are...
They want the truth.
Unkempt and all that kind of stuff. I don't think they want that. But I do think that good, honest people presenting the truth is a much better picture than just some pretty girl that's half-dressed that delivers the news and you're not sure if you paid attention to the news or the salaciousness of the woman or whatever. I don't think that's what they want. I really don't. And you mentioned that Dan Rather's quite a bit shorter than... You thought he'd be in.
Well, that's right.
And it just goes to show they can make you kind of look in whatever how they want to. And so
Ted Koppel was quite a bit shorter than I thought he would be.
I was significantly taller, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, of course. you know, anyway, if those guys are put up against, you know, say a guy like you, then they look like they're tall. But if they were put by a guy like Sheriff David A. Clark, those guys would be like,
everybody's pretty short, aren't they?
Yeah, midgets, I guess would be the phrase.
Well, when I introduced David A. Clark Jr. at the National Press Club, I certainly looked way shorter than, you know. When I'm already short enough, but that just made it look worse, right?
That guy's a big dude.
In comparison. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's worth noting just because it was something that we kind of observed. That to them, it's kind of a fashion show. It really is. To us, it's more about news the networks refuse to use and telling the tale of liberty. But that's just us. All right, I guess pro-Trump. Super PACs leave Cleveland, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam. Now, you know, they left Cleveland with what they call fatter wallets. Now, you know, it wasn't, the bottom line is there's more folks anteing up now. And, you know, what you've got is, I guess they had these super PAC side meetings. Now, surprisingly, we weren't invited to any of these. ABC News piece says they've yielded millions of dollars in financial commitments, although some of the wealthiest and best-known donors remain a little uncomfortable with the presidential nominee, whom they call divisive and light on policies. Now, I'll tell you what they really remain a little uncomfortable about is they don't think that they can control him, Sam, and that's what they want. That's why they put money in, typically, is they want a result for it. But anyway, that's my reading of why they do that. Now, one of them is called Great America PAC, and they say it's been working in Cleveland to woo donors, or it worked to woo donors, including a multimillionaire investor, Foster Freeze, F-R-I-E-S-S, and the oil and gas billionaire Harold Hamm. He was hamming it up over there. But anyway, Trump advocates Ben Carson and Dorothy Woods, a widow of one of the four Americans killed in Benghazi. They spoke to about 100 people who attended this Great America PAC meeting on Monday. They forgot to send us an invitation, by the way. But both groups, they say, need new money. They're facing pro-Clinton efforts with more than $130 million, they say. And the FEC filings in recent days show that they didn't have much. But the bottom line is they got a whole bunch more money. And the thing I like to point out is, man, there's huge amounts of money involved. And typically it's because businesses and entities when they pay money to representatives and senators, whether it's Orrin Hatch in Utah or, you know, a presidential candidate, they want a return on their money, Sam.
No question about it.
Surprise.
No doubt about that, for sure. Yeah. Right, last story we've got for this hour, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Republican convention speeches drew over 22 million viewers on the first night. It's an incredible number, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt's got details.
Well, and this is a, you know, when you look at just the headline, you think, well, so what? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people watching. Well, yeah, and then the sub-headline from him, from a guy named Joe Flint, is CNN and MSNBC boosted viewership from 2012 levels, a decline for Fox News. Now, if you read just those headlines, you think, hey, Fox is really hurting. They're just, like, down, way down, and CNN and MSNBC are just way up. Well, you know, overall, there was a lot of viewers. Well, yeah, but when you look at the facts later in the story, you see that it says Fox averaged 6.35 million viewers, and we always want to say, well, how'd they figure this out? But anyway, you know, we don't want to go there, right, Sam? And then they say CNN drew 3.94. But, I mean, if you read just the headlines, you think CNN's ahead. But, you know, they say Fox had more than that before, and now CNN's improved their earlier numbers. MSNBC, they say, attracted 2 million viewers. But when you read just the headline, you think, hey, man, CNN and MSNBC are just ripping. But, you know, that's a little behind the news story, if you ask me.
Well, then you got to kind of wonder, Kurt, why is Fox just kind of melting down, you know? I wonder.
Well, we mentioned why we felt that was happening big time, and has to do with the leadership there and the fact that, I mean, we've seen it in their treatment of the way they treated Ron Paul and his crowd in the past, and you know, people don't like that. They want reports.
That's why I say people really just aren't interested in the pretty people like they want you to believe, Kurt. Sure, you got to be decent. Don't get me wrong. But people want the truth. People want, well, they really want what Fox claims. We report, you decide. The problem is Fox doesn't deliver.
Good point.
And that's kind of the battle lines that are drawn between the yesteryear media, in my opinion, the clown media, and the new media taking center stage. We're giving people news the networks refuse to use. We're giving people the details, the who, what, when, where, why. And when we report, it's as fair-minded as we can be. Keeping in mind that we're clear about the principles of America matter to us. The goal for us is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. We wear our agenda on a sleeve. Might these other clown media outlets try to do the same? They might get further, Kurt.
Yes.
Just saying. All right, we're flat out of time. LibertyNewsRadio.com for incredible talk show hosts. LibertyRoundtable.com for archives. And LibertyNewsDaily.com for incredible news. This nation shall endure.